And we have what? Christy, what's on the list?
We've got...
reimbursable expenses, and then the Taney County Airport parking lot island hazards.
The island hazards, since it's time, we can talk about that since Frank's still here. On Tuesday, the airport board had their monthly meeting and identified that they have got some liability concerns with the parking lot islands that are out there. They were created, basically what I was told was they had light poles put up back when C of O had the property, and the fee structure was great to a point where C of O could afford to have the light poles. Last year, the fee structure changed and light poles were removed, so then we have islands with some asphalt curbing and some rock inside each island out there. Since then, we've had people running through the islands and damaging their vehicles, and there's some concern out there that the liability could fall within the county if we are not careful. The airport board took action on Tuesday and gave direction to the commission if they could remove those islands, it would reduce the liability to the county. From talking to Mark Parent, who's on vacation this week, I think he started after the meeting, but he said there's pavement underneath there. He said all they did is they put the curbing and the rock on top of the existing pavement. So he believes that just if the road and bridge could pop that all off and haul off the debris, and maybe even on the property, because we're always trying to shore up that one service road, that would be a really good thing for liability and so on. His concern, though, I just want to point that out, if by chance there's an island or two that doesn't have pavement, he would like for us to put pavement back in there just so there doesn't become a washout area or it starts damaging the asphalt over time, because we didn't and people are driving through it. But he was requesting as all the islands get removed, I think there's about... I was out there yesterday, 8 or 10, I think, is the number. They're not very large, probably one dump truck total of all debris is what it looked like. But that was the request that they had put in, and I saw it. I've almost hit them a couple times. I have not. Some of the people participating in the meeting, they fessed up and said they actually hit it a couple times and damaged their underneath of their car and stuff. So.
Yeah. So our direction for Frank is to fix that.
Frank, the direction is Frank will remove them.
Okay.
There is electrical, so there had to be some kind of...
Well, they said they stubbed it off at the surface. When the poles got pulled out, they stubbed it off at the surface of the parking lot.
Okay.
And they said electrical would not be an issue out there, is what Mark Parent... That was one of the questions in the meeting.
Okay.
There was electricity out there, but they said when they terminated it at the... asphalt level.
Okay.
That's what they said. Now,
just need to be careful, though, needless
absolutely.
To say that we don't catch the wire.
And we do have one of our maintenance guys, Phil, can, if you run into electrical, he can terminate.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that way we don't have any extra outside costs associated with this.
And, of course, the time would need to be kept and put to the airport, right?
Yeah, we'll have to interrupt.
Very well.
And then you can coordinate that with Mark, or Mark's admin is...
Mike, is it? Malnick?
Mike, yep.
Okay.
So you work that out, or what's her name out there?
Terry.
You can always coordinate with Terry, too, if you needed to say Avis needs to move their vehicles.
I was going to ask if there are vehicles in
there. Terry could do that, too.
Okay.
She's kind of Mark's admin from the aspect of the other tenants out there.
Very well.
Anything else on that?
That was easy.
Thank you, Frank.
There's a landscape bid this morning for the judicial facility.
I think we're going to talk about putting it out for bid.
Okay.
We're not going to talk about that. I put it on there. We're going to talk about putting the whole project out for bid.
Okay. Renee and I walked the entire complex yesterday.
Good.
And preliminarily, she told me what she thought was anticipated to happen. We have already, as of yesterday, graded and topsoiled the what I call the Shorty Cooper Island, and made improvements to the extension parking lot.
Good.
Regraded that and topsoiled that. So, and we have cleaned up some debris piles along the judicial slope. There is a significant amount of drainage improvements to be made, especially at that one large drain. I will be meeting with an engineer this morning to walk and talk that slope. I'm not 100% sure that what was originally drawn up for the improvement there will handle what's coming out of the slope. But we will get on board and get those things. I will identify those and bring that project to you, bring it forward to you. We need to get moving on that so that if and when the landscape bid, if you do go out to bid, comes back. We've dressed that slope up, I believe, 3 or 4 times. I don't want to dress it up anymore. And we want to dress it up shortly before whatever the ultimate work is to be done because things grow rather quickly on it. And so we're slowly moving in the direction, anticipating that the final project will be finished sometime this summer.
My like I said, my hope is that when it's time for us to talk about the landscaping, we can at least put it out for bid, and we'll have a conversation of what Renee's thinking and safety concerns and all that. So I think we're at least with the Surrey Cooper being done and all that, we can. There's nothing, and the sewer being done now, I think there's nothing delaying us from finishing it and dressing it up. But anyway, if you can come back, if you want, otherwise, we're just going to be putting out for bid. So
okay,
talking about bids.
Okay, Renee did mention at the lower end of the new parking lot up there, a flower bed as a alternative to a guardrail.
Uh-huh.
And then an additional flower bed for landscaping purposes near that.
Right, and I'll bring it up to Chuck in just a few minutes.
Okay. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm only looking at the drainage issues. Correct. Everything else above and beyond that will be information that you gentlemen will be bringing forward to me. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
A question, I don't know when the time is, but you talked about the drainage and we've got those big spilling out there. Is that something that we want to have Road and Bridge do or put it a part of the landscape?
I would want Road and Bridge. It's concrete. We've got a concrete crew.
That's what I was thinking.
And I think it's a small project. We could work that in. And traditionally, landscape people are landscapers, and they don't do concrete work.
That was my thought.
Is what you're thinking? Good.
The other thought, and thank you, Frank, that we had a dirt pile on the south side that was kind of, there it was, obstructing the view coming down the hill. And we need to remember to talk to Renee, I guess, about mowing that area where that dirt pile was south of the intersection, because when those weeds are high, they're as bad as the dirt
pile. Is on the extension side?
Yes, they've mowed it in the past.
Yeah. I mentioned that to her a couple days ago.
Across from the funeral home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Very good.
Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. All right. Reimbursable expenses. What do we got there? Anybody know?
Yep. I had posted that. What I had noticed, and I'm not going to specifically talk about any one individual specifically, but what I had noticed over looking through our accounts payable and expenses recently and in the past, and then looking at our handbook policy book, we don't designate what is reasonable and what our policy is as it relates to meals and what they call incidental expenses. The acronym is M and I and E. Okay, meals, incidental expenses. There is a at most all organizations that deal with the government, there is a what's called U.S. General Services Administration rate sheet that's created at the national level, and then based off of what zone you're traveling to is how much money you may spend when you're on a business trip. And what has happened is I have identified some expenses by some employees and some non-employees that have charged some things back to the county that even at the highest rate, which would be Washington, D.C., San Francisco, San Jose, areas that are some of the highest rates in the country, some of those expenses have exceeded that on a daily basis. And let me give you an example. On the most expensive rate, I didn't print this out, Chuck, I'll just show you. On the most expensive rate here is $71 total meals and incidental expenses are allowed by the government standards at the most expensive area. We've had some expenses exceed $100 in a day. And we've had no policy and no way to stop the process. Jefferson City, which is where we travel predominantly, is right at the 56, based off the zone, is zone 50, is the zone that would say $56 maximum. Now, went back to our travels. I don't think anybody's ever spent $56 in a day, but that is the allowable amount based off the zone. So what I would like to do is establish that our maximum meals and incidental expenses is not to exceed $56 a day when traveling, business travel. What that does is, if in case individual has to go on a business trip and they're going to an area that would fall in, basically, I think anybody could eat for $56 a day anywhere in the country. Let's be honest here. And I think if we could just establish $56 or even $50 maximum per day expenses when it comes to meals. That way, if the auditor ever runs across something that's contrary to that, he has the authority to push back and say, our policy is this, which right now he doesn't. So therefore, he can just watch the expenses come through and really can't do anything about it. And if you want a specific, I'd let you talk to Rick about a specific if you want to. I know of a specific incident that happened probably in the last 45 days that is unfortunate, but there's no recourse against the process. And so anyway, I think checking with Branson. Branson doesn't have it. MAC and NACO all refer back to this GSA document. Most governments refer back to this document because this document changes based off economy, and they establish it annually.
Okay. My thoughts is Rick's coming up to the mic, and here comes Linda. Written policy is a good thing, needless to say. And we've talked about this. Rick and I have talked about it since we've been here at different times along the way when we've seen something come through. Seldom, right, Rick?
Not very often.
Not very often it's happened. And I'm just thinking out loud here. Am I right in that if we establish a policy, we're still at the, I hate to say it this way, but at the mercy of the elected official in that office, whether they will follow that policy or not?
Actually, from reimbursement, it would be a reimbursement of the county, so that everyone would have to adhere to this.
So you're
I don't think you can, that, you know, the elected official says, no, you need to pay them. Like, look, this is what the county pays. You want them paid more, you're going to have to pay them somehow or another. You know, there may be some of them that have those funds that can do that, but I don't think you'll have a problem with that. I don't know.
I don't think it would happen.
I don't either.
I think if someone push, and I don't think anybody would ever do that, but they could. Okay, so the other concern I have in listening to your comments there is that if we set $56
right.
as a maximum, and again, I don't think this would happen either, but just getting it out on the table here, if you put a maximum on the day, some people are going to be tempted to spend more than they would otherwise, than they have been spending, maybe. And again, I'm just throwing my thoughts out here. Again, Rick and I have kicked this around. We've never done anything about it.
Chuck, I think you and I both agree most of the people that we have, when they go, they are very frugal,
use it
appropriately. But I think that I kind of like the idea of using that as a maximum and you know, highlighting that, whatever, and put it in there that the maximum MI and E, which is, they change that annually. I wouldn't put an amount. I would put that MI and E in there. And that, I think, will eliminate people thinking, well, I've got this much to spend, because most people aren't going to look at that anyway.
Right.
And it will still yet give me the power to say, if something's way out of line, which I think that once in a while it happens, to say, look, this is an expense that the county won't pay because of their policy.
And we could write the policy in such that we'd say it's the average between the high and the low of the annual MI&E. Because that way we don't have to put a dollar figure in there. It's always changing as they change their rate.
Because it'll go up and down as the economy in different areas goes up and down, I think.
Okay, and these expenses are still their expenses that's in each office's budget. I mean, if there's only $100 in that budget, for instance,
right.
It doesn't matter what.
Right.
They're limited to.
And they still got to provide receipts, and it's got to be justified. Right. There's a bunch of there's other criteria that require that if it's a reimbursable expense, this doesn't supersede our reimbursement policy. It just puts a cap on it, mm-hmm. So that we are that our hands aren't tied.
You say you visited with the city of Branson, and they don't have one.
They don't have one
policy.
No,
and they're pretty good on policies, right. I think.
Okay. I just, you know, they would still need to provide receipts and stuff. And sometimes I have questions when I look at some of those, and I think, you know, well, should the county be covering the tip? Should the tip be a certain amount? Should it be? And because we have some people that feel like that's more important than others do, or obviously, and stuff like that. But if you guys put in there, this is a maximum allowable per day, then that gives a lot of leeway, and yet it gives some guidance and keeps us, it kind of protects us to some degree.
I'd like to see us, either Rick could do it or the commission, send a note to our elected officials, this is what we're looking at, and explain it out and get their...
Before we vote on it?
Before we vote on it. Okay. Give them opportunity to...
I've got the document. I could easily put it out and then have one of the ladies send it from our admin from the commission email address just saying the commission is considering this.
Yep.
My thoughts, I'll just give you my thoughts. What we'd send out is the average of the high and the low of what that rate is, because that's what our number is, but minus the incidentals. Our policy doesn't pay for incidentals. We specifically in our handbooks do not allow incidental expenses, meaning valet parking or we have a parking, you can expense out parking, but not dry cleaning and all that. And incidentals is kind of like one of those catch-alls. It could be soda pop machines.
I kind of have a problem.
Northerners.
On incidentals, you know, if somebody buys a bottle of water, is that an incidental? I would think it is, and I wouldn't want to cover that.
Right, but if it's a breakfast, but see, what I would do is just Chuck, how I would do it is the average between the high and the low minus the incidentals. That's what I would do. So that the average here is 58. If you take the high and the low of this MINE GSA document, the average is $58.50 minus the $5 puts you down to $53, which is really where I was trying to get to. I was trying to get closer to 50, but I'm trying to get to a formula that we don't have to correct the handbook every year. It's just a formula. And that would get us at 53, which is closer to that where we had talked about.
That a person could still, if he had to use parking lot in the Jeff or whatever, he could still...
Yeah, the handbook's still the handbook.
Yeah. It just would take out that
right
line of incidentals.
Right. But if that's acceptable, I'll get the email ready for Jillian or Nikki, and they can send it out from the commission address and get feedback.
Again, I don't think there will be any question with... I just think out of courtesy to all the other elected officials, just to let them know what we're thinking before we do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Are we ready for landscaping? See, pull you up a chair. Make yourself comfortable.
As they're coming, I think last week or week before, we had, because I had been involved with Renee on the landscaping project last fall, you guys directed me to work with Renee just to get some direction so we can come back before us here and talk about what we're going to do from a bidding perspective. And that's why Linda's here, so in case we decide to direct her to put out for bid, we can kind of jump-step the process. Renee and I, when we walked through there, identified basically the biggest concern we have is in 15 years from now, if we're all here or not here from now in 15 years, we don't want a situation where we have maintenance people or some of our eager employees trying to mow a hillside that's just too dangerous because they're just doing that. So what we try to do is identify areas that really don't need to be mowed and areas that do need to be mowed, and then landscaping areas because of just we need to make sure we're an attractive place of business, place of work. So we walked the hillside on Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember what day it was.
Tuesday.
And in talking to a bunch of landscaping companies, I've talked to three or four over the last, say, 4 or 5 months about the hillside. There's a bunch of scenarios, but the I guess the overall majority that I feedback I got, and I think Renee will probably chime in, is whatever we do, we're going to have to put topsoil down on the hillside. We're going to have to put landscaping, a landscaping fabric that is environmentally friendly, I don't care how you put it, landscaping fabric to hold the dirt in place no matter what we do. Now, then the discussion is, do we, and then there's a certain component we want grass. And one thing I was talking to Renee about is that the more grass we plant, the more grass that she has to mow. So let's be wise about that, because they're already mowing a whole lot more grass than they used to with the new judicial facility. So we identified some areas, and hearing comments from Danny, I think from you, Chuck, what do we want that hillside to look like, and what is, you know, what do we want to do? So, in talking to Renee, we identified some areas that she said she'd like to put some trees down that's not in the MoDOT easement along 160, but closer to the wall that she can physically get planted. So five or so trees there that are still off the easement away from the sewer lines, but still places to plant. And that grass area in front of the road. Now, did you stake that area that we walked through?
Yeah, we are staking it.
Okay. What we did is we did some landscaping paint, just painted some areas on the ground to kind of say, this is what we'd mow, this is what we'd landscape, and this is what we'd just have ground cover on. What the thoughts are, we talked to one landscaping company who said they'd plant honeysuckle. We had one that said they would plant crown vetch. One said they'd plant vinca. One said they'd do lyropi or monkey grass, wherever you're from, part of the country, which is just a decorative grass that doesn't really require mowing. And then one landscaping company said, why don't we do what MoDOT does on their troubled spots that don't want to be mowed, and that is a natural flowers. What did I call it before?
Wildflowers.
Wildflowers. Do a hydro seed wildflowers, where it blooms, from spring to fall, wherever the natural wildflowers are, but it never will get mowed. And my biggest concern, we've got areas that just don't need to have a mower on them.
Right.
And if we don't put something in place that prevents that, we could have a concern. And obviously, none of us want that. So, in talking to a bunch of people, it looks like the wildflower idea, Danny didn't like the vinca minor, didn't like crown fetch. In comments he's made before, he didn't like either one of those. I'm not a big proponent of honeysuckle, just because it grows all right on a wall, but not, it's sloped, it won't look as good. It may not spread as good either. So that's what we walked around, did all that, so my thoughts are, let's do a landscaping, get a landscaping bid to hydro seed the grassy areas, hydro seed the wildflower areas, have this landscaping company bring the topsoil in, hydro seed, put the, I think one of the guys said coconut mat, which is a all natural thing that dissolves over time, but holds the seed and the topsoil on the hillside, stake that there, and then let Renee water it, plant the trees, and maintain them. That would seem to be the most cost effective. So, that's me. Go.
One question I've got from all you said was the planting the trees. Mm-hmm. We got beautiful trees here, but they block a courthouse. They've got large enough to block a courthouse. Have you thought about that? What type of trees you plant?
Well, I thought about some sugar maples, because that'd be really pretty in the fall. And
right.
They're just pretty. And I don't think, I mean, where they're going to be planted at, they won't block the building.
Even at full growth.
Yeah, even at full growth.
That's just something I think we ought to have in our mind.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Mentioned in 15 years a while ago.
Right.
We can't see our building.
Yeah. They're going to be planted far enough down that don't ever block the building. So.
And I can kind of, if you want me to sketch out what we're talking about, but you could also go out there and talk to Renee, and she's got some paint. There's going to be some stakes being put up. I know there was orange paint on the ground. Mm-hmm. One of the key areas, Renee, when we were talking through, Renee asked about the Shorty Cooper decorative corner that convert, you know what we're talking about, where the... You're going to decorate that area, put some grass in there, I think, also. But any steep slope is going to be a wildflower, okay? The one area that I wanted to point out that we talked about that would help because of the slope is when you're coming up 160 from Shadow Rock Park and you take a right to Shorty Cooper, right straight ahead, right on that corner is so steep you can't have grass there. And we had talked about creating a little landscaping island, you know, terraced into that corner so she could find a tree and some bushes just so it doesn't become the ugly side of the jail, which is what we see.
Right.
And so that's one area that she's going to create
that
herself.
Sounds like good.
She's going to create that space there, plant the trees. That's going to be separate from the landscaping bid whatsoever. So there's a few of those areas you're popping in there for trees. Just so it just breaks up that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And everything else is just going to try to be flowers. But
well, I'll try to go down and walk. And then
it's raining pretty good, so.
Not necessarily now.
But if you let me know, just call me and I'll be glad to walk with you. That way I can explain to you and you can see it kind of visually.
So are we going to try to have a pretty decent specified drawing of what we send to the for bid?
Well, what we'd like to do is, if she stakes it, identify the bid, identify the landscaping contractors who have all said, and I think you've already got a list who've said they want to participate.
Yes, sir.
They all had said that we were physically going to come into this, to your site and make them come and look at the stake sites. We'll have a sketch, but part of the bid is you must do a site visit to identify the areas, and they can measure their own square footage of coverage for this hydro seeding of the wildflowers. But that was one of the things I'd like to do is just by us painting is one thing, staking it's another thing, and they then can see and measure how much they're talking about and how many loads of topsoil they're talking about. It'd be hard to do a drawing without paying money.
What I'm saying is, that we're going to be specific about our bid. We're not just going to say, here's our hillside, what would you do with it, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay, are we also going to put in something for suggestions if we don't want to open that can of worms?
Well,
in other words, here's what we want bids specifically. If you have other... Option B is something better.
I don't know. We went through the options in the fall, Renee, and we got
to leave that alone.
I'd leave it alone. Thinking. I mean,
okay, that's fine.
Because what I mentioned was we got quotes, and I can show you the quote. We got quotes from all different types of people for all those different ideas, and that's what they came up with. One was liope, one was honeysuckle, one was crown fetch, one was grass, one was Bermuda, the whole hillside being Bermuda. So we've got all those suggestions, that, and I'm leaving that up to Renee, but do you want to be specific or do you want to solicit more?
I don't. I think we should stick with what we
what you've worked what through to this point and mm-hmm. stick with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
So can we direct Linda to move forward on writing the bids and
yep.
work with Renee on that?
What was the other? Oh, the other question. Where can we see the wildflowers? Is there an example around anywhere that you've seen that MoDOT? What we're talking about?
I can get you. I'll get you some areas on the. I mean, right now, I think the white flowers, the yellows just finished up, and the white flowers are going right now.
I think it would be beautiful.
And blues are coming on right now, so I can.
But it still would be covered to keep the ground from washing and this, that, and the other.
Yep.
I mean, it'd be a. Somewhat of a maintenance-free thing. Is that what
Correct.
You're saying?
Correct. That's what the hope is that
yep.
you know, they'll die back in the fall, and it'll look, if we don't have the trees,
it'll look like winter.
It'll look like winter, which is fine.
Yep.
But in the spring, you'll start seeing the spring, you'll see a whole variable of flowers. But it's no, my biggest thing is, it's no one's going to say, hey, I need to mow that. They just will stay off it because it'll look natural.
My thought about, you mentioned planting the tree to break it up. I think that's grand. Do we want to do more than one?
She's got five identified along the rock wall down low. Five or seven.
Five and then one. Okay, there's five and then one at one place. And then there's one at the U-shaped landscaping that I'm going to do.
That's seven.
And then we've got bushes that were...
And let me talk about the bushes real fast. At the bottom of the new parking lot area... the new parking we added next to the Sallyport private drive, Danny was real concerned that if someone wasn't paying attention, they could potentially jump the curb and go down the hillside.
Hmm.
So Danny's request was, he saw that we had piles of, when we did that one site walkthrough, we still have some blocks that were made that are landscaping hill where the judicial facility sits, to use those as a planter, basically, on the end, down the hillside, to plant those in the hill. So if someone did lose control, jump the curb, they would hit into that before going down the hill. And using that at the very top of the landscaping, at the top of the parking lot, for Renee to put some taller bushes to break up that hill, to break up that again, it would be green. They're talking about evergreen, so you're talking about year-round green, and using that material we already have, because we already have the blocks. They were in excess from the construction project. So that's what she's talking also. So we have some, I wouldn't say, we'll have pockets of green live, even in the wintertime. Right. But that's what it was. It was, Danny's concern was, if by chance someone lost control, jumped the curb, they go down the hill, this way they'd hit that before they actually go down the hill. And Renee can show that to you when you walk.
Okay.
But that would be done by Renee too. That would be maintenance by Renee. Not part of the landscaping contract.
Gotcha.
You good with that?
Marvelous. Sounds very good. Thanks for your work on it.
Renee's big help. So, Linda, you got the direction then,
right? I've
got
it. Thank you very much.
All right. That's all we have for today.
That's it?
That's it.
Well, let's recess then.